What I want you to see is the dynamic that happens, that we are very, vulnerable people, in the sense that maybe vulnerable is not the word, as much as we're gullible and outlandish, funny, odd stories that get our attention. And there's a little humor in that. What's not funny is that when people begin to build their lives on a framework of delusions, things that aren't true, and begin to get messed up in the process on a personal level. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, Satan is the god of this age, and he has blinded those who don't believe. And there is a very real work of darkness in our generation, and it's happened, I think, there's nothing new under the sun. But one of the things the enemy specializes in, Jesus said he's a liar, he's the father of lies, is he deceives by deception. And if you read enough in the Bible, you'll find that prophet after prophet after prophet, writer after writer in the New Testament even, talks about a mass delusion in the age of the church that leads people astray. And in fact, it can even affect the people that are part of the church. And they fall into deception. And I'm not talking about a mass exodus in terms of religion. I'm talking about, on a personal level, if you believe the lie, if you follow after the liar and the deceiver enough, your life begins to get wrapped up and entangled in things that you wish you could get free from. And so in that, I want to remind you, there is a call of duty laid upon us as followers of Jesus. I think something the Lord is doing, maybe, look, I'm not a voice of the larger body of Christ. I'm never going to stand up and say, you know, if the church, as far as the whole church, will just get, you know, get their act, God has not given me that voice, thank God. He's just given me a voice to you. And I believe that the Lord is doing something in our midst. I tend to think that it could be beyond us, but I know he's doing it among us. And that's a rallying call to fervent prayer. And so since the first Sunday of this month, we've been looking at the Bible's call, this call of duty to fervent prayer. And as we see today in our passage in Zechariah, that the promise of spiritual renewal is always flowing toward the active, fervent prayer of God's people. So as we look at Zechariah 10, turn to verse 1 again, if you would. And you see the phrase here, ask the Lord. And the specific request is that we ask the Lord for latter rain. But this comes, he says, in a time of latter rain, that's when you ask for latter rain. And he says the Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. In other words, the Lord will fulfill what you ask from him to do. And the phrase is used many times in Scripture, this idea of latter rain. Let's dig into that a little bit. In Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, located in the land, what we call the land of Israel, that part of the Middle East, the idea of rain was very precious. It was very much needed. And so there were two rainy seasons in that arid desert region of the world. And the first was called the autumn rains, or sometimes they were called the winter rains. And that happened between October and January, a time where the first rains of the season would come after the very dry summertime. And the summertime was a time of harvest. It wasn't a time to plant. It wasn't a time to get the harvest ready. That was harvest time. And so they depended on the early rains, or what they called the autumn rains, that fell during this time to keep the ground or begin to make it soft and pliable again so they could dig into it and get their crops as they made ready for the coming spring. And then in the springtime, we had what was known as the latter rains, or you might have a translation that uses the spring rains. And this fell during the time of March and April. Sometimes it would stretch into May. But again, it came after a very dry season, after the former rains between like February and into part of March. The rain, the earth would begin to dry up again. This rich agricultural society, you can imagine how important that is to their economy. In fact, the summer is, between those two periods, the summer is very dry, that period between the two rains is very dry, so they covet the falling of the rain, these two important rainy seasons. In fact, this was God, even this was even a God idea. God had said in Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, he says, it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commands, which I command you today, love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. By the way, that's the first great commandment. That's what God is looking from all of us, that we love him and serve him with all of our heart and soul. But look at verse 14. Here comes the promise. He says, if you do that, then I'll give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Now, the latter rain was not just a meteorological thing. It wasn't just something for, you know, the Israeli family almanac or whatever, farmer's almanac. This was something that God had spoken. It was ingrained in their hearts that their sustenance, the rain that fell from heaven to accomplish on the earth a great harvest, it also had a spiritual connotation. And so if you look at the book of Joel, turn there if you would. The book of Joel is just a few books back from the book of Zechariah. And turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel is another prophet who came about 70 years before Zechariah. What I want you to see in the Bible is there is a trail of common message that flows throughout the Bible. That's the great thing about the Bible. Our staff has been reading, and we've been looking at what it means to make disciples in this culture, this generation. And one of the things that's important is that we know the Bible is not just one book. It's 66 books. And the greatness of God revealed in Scripture is that he writes a common theme that every author picks up on and writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and presents it to us throughout history. And we see this incredible work that God has put together, the Bible, and the commonality that we see in it. Look at Joel chapter 2, and here again is the mention of the latter rain. This is 70 years before Zechariah. And Joel writes in verse 23, he says, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. What I want you to see here is that when God promised rain, the blessing was very specific. He said, you'll have the rain that you need for your agricultural economy. He says, you'll have plenty. The promise of rain comes with blessing, and the blessing comes with the increase of your grain harvest and your olive groves and your vineyards. That's the idea. Grain, new oil, and the wine coming from the vineyards. But note, if you'll jump, you're in verse 24. Jump down to verse 20 of that same chapter, and you see the connection between this great promise of God that happens with literal rain, but there's a connection to a spiritual dynamic that comes in verse 28. Joel's continuing. He says, and it will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. God is saying, I won't just rain down on you for your agricultural survival. I'm going to pour out for you my spirit. That's the idea. The latter rain of God is not just a rain that's a meteorological event. It's a spiritual event. It's the falling down of the presence of the Lord upon the people. He says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He goes on. He says, your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. So this outpouring of the spirit would release the supernatural work of God among his people. It will touch every generation. It will touch every gender. The release of vision, the release of prophetic dreams, the release of supernatural communication, the prophetic speaking. It's all about spiritual renewal. God's saying, I'm going to do this for you in this outpouring of latter rain. And then in the New Testament, this is where it gets like super awesome. You get into the New Testament, and in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost happens and the Holy Spirit comes upon those early followers of Jesus, there's a remarkable demonstration, remarkable things that happen, wind and fire, and again, this supernatural gifting of tongues that had kind of a prophetic connection. Peter stands up to the crowd in Acts chapter 2, and he looks at everyone and he says, guys, let me tell you what this is. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What you're seeing God do here in our lives today before your eyes is what God promised in the Old Testament, the latter rain falling. It will come to pass in the last days. He quotes Joel, he says, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all of your flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And so in the latter rain, God says, I'm pouring out more than just rain. I'm pouring out my spirit upon you. I'm going to bring spiritual renewal in your midst. And with that, you can draw some parallels. There's the assurance of harvest in the latter rain. Not just the harvest of fruit and olives and vineyards and grain, but the harvest that connects to what Jesus speaks of in the New Testament when he tells the disciples, look on the fields, they're white with harvest. And he's not talking about a grain harvest. He's talking about people coming to him, believing on him, trusting in him, needing him. And we look around us and there is a field that's white unto harvest. And it's because God is supplying the rain. God is pouring out his spirit. God is pouring out all around us and bringing a harvest. So there's assurance of harvest. There's a clearing of the air. You've been on a baseball field like in July when there hasn't been rain for a while. Any guy, you remember that as a kid? If you played baseball. I mean, if you had the leather glove and knew how to hold a bat. I remember how dry it could be. And we didn't have those nice just dirt outlines. I mean, the whole infield was dirt, right? And so you're practicing in the afternoons and you go home and you know what that's like, guys, don't you? You know how you're thirsty, you're dry. It's like your whole sinus cavity is filled with red clay. You're dry. Well, if you can imagine in an arid area, or an arid region, a dry region, like Israel during this period, when there was no rain, you can imagine how dusty and how cloudy and the risk of dust clouds sweeping across the landscape was very real. But when the rain came, their vision cleared. When the rain came, the dryness was quenched. When the rain came, the land was being prepared. So there's a clearing of our vision, the clearing of the air, and the softening of the soil. Listen, I think one thing the Lord wants to accomplish in us is to break up some of the ruts that we get into with our schedule and our time and our expectation. And I think God is wanting to soften us, make us more malleable, make us pliable, just like I think we've already referenced this morning. The Lord is wanting to do something inside of us, but sometimes it requires the softening of the condition of our heart. And that comes with the latter rain. Now jump to verse 2. Go back to Zechariah 10 and look at verse 2. Because the announcement of latter rain was actually a prophetic answer to what God saw in his people. In a spiritual sense, God was seeing a great delusion that affected the people. And there was a reason for it. In verse 2, he says, for the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people... Look at this. They wind. If you have King James or New King James, you just can't substitute a word like wind. What is wind? W-E-N-D. They're winding. It doesn't mean winding. It's a word that means they're kind of journeying, they're on their path, they're walking it out, but really no direction. It's kind of like this open pathway, don't know where we are, don't know where we're going. And the Lord says, the idols have spoken their delusions, their diviners, in other words, their spiritual leaders envisioned lies. They were being led into idolatry. They tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. They're saying, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about what you're going through. You've forsaken God and gone after idols, but don't worry. Everything's okay. These idols are going to take care of you. And the people are wending their way. No direction, no leadership. And here's the reason why. Now, they're in trouble because there's no shepherd. There's no shepherd. Now, we understand New Testament shepherds, right? That's pastoral leadership, spiritual leadership. But that's not what the Old Testament had in mind. The Old Testament idea of the shepherd was the national leadership. The people that set the tone and the pace for the nation. We saw last week what happened when King Ahab came into rule over Israel and how he led the whole nation into Baal worship away from God. But there's two ways that you can experience life without a shepherd, right, in this sense. Number one, you can have bad shepherds, and evidently that was going on. Zechariah sees some failures in leadership. He said the people aren't on path. They aren't on mission with God. They aren't in the vein of what God is wanting to do because they've been either lax, they haven't been present, they haven't shown up in the leadership that God had given them to do, and they've failed the people. But you can also go ahead and forfeit spiritual leadership just by stepping out of it and say, I'm not listening, I'm not following it, I'm going to do my own thing. Listen, I want to tell you weekly, just on a spiritual leadership level, weekly, I hear Pastor Daniel and Pastor Dara, and you just don't know the heart they have for our kids, how they pray for them, how they prepare their messages for their to contextualize for a kid or a young person going through what they go through. We had some kids, you know, have moved up from elementary school into middle school, and they're faced with all sorts of new challenges. And I'm very pleased with how our spiritual leaders are really giving themselves to what God has given them to pastor and to shepherd. It's wonderful. But we live in a day, listen, where the truth is not as important to some leaders as it needs to be. And I think it makes a people vulnerable who don't have the covering of the Word of God in their lives. And again, that can be on the shepherds for not giving out the truth, and it can be on the people for stepping out of the boundaries and the covering of it. Nevertheless, God says, when I see my people, they're winding themselves around, they're walking around, traveling around, journeying around on their path, but with no direction, no covering, and they're under a delusion. And the word idols doesn't mean mere sticks and stones. You know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10? He indicates that behind idolatry there is demonic darkness. And I got to tell you, demons aren't affecting us because they dress up in red suits with pointy tails and horns. They counsel. They're like the invisible counselor. And they have a strong power of suggestion. And they want to shape the framework of how you think about life and how you've seen this. You may have seen it in your own life where you're walking through a season and you feel like your thoughts are muddled, you're off focus, your vision's cloudy. I'm not telling you that you're possessed. I'm just telling you that that's the way darkness works. To blind your minds from the truth, to get your eyes off of Jesus, the author and the finisher. You're praying for people in your family and you've seen such a change in them where they seem to be, you know, together and in a good place and walking in truth, and now you're seeing them and they're scattered, their thoughts are everywhere, they can't focus, they can't get into a vein that's life-giving in their lives. Zechariah says the people are deluded, the people are under the influence, the diviners bring their lies, the idols speak and bring influence, and the shepherds aren't present. And Zechariah speaks these prophetic words with a very clear spiritual connotation. He says the latter rain comes because of the delusion. The latter rain comes because people's hearts aren't after God. The latter rain comes to restore what people have lost in spiritual vitality. The latter rain comes so that people might turn their hearts back to the Father. This is a prophetic word. Listen, I want to tell you this. The first thing we need to understand is the Word of God is powerfully prophetic. It's not an academic book that sits in history that we turn to and we think, oh, that's a good principle for life. Maybe I'll get around to observing that. No, this is prescient truth that's speaking to issues in your heart and life, and you ignore it at the risk of your life and your spiritual vitality and your relationship with God, and it extends to other parts of your life. If you ignore it, you'll reap the benefits of it, the consequences. But there are also times, and we are a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church, and we believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit today, and we welcome the prophetic gifts, not that they supersede the Word, but they affirm the Word, they confirm the Word, they speak in the vein of the truth. And there are times where God begins to pour out those gifts, and they stir us, they edify us. In fact, there are two reasons for the prophetic gifts. The first thing they do is they edify. They build us up. They bring us to a place of direction and confirmation. But sometimes the Word has come to provoke us, where God is saying, I want to get your eyes on some things that you're not paying attention to. I want you to be focused on some things that you're missing. I want to stir your heart and bring your attention around to things that are troubling me. And if you'll do on earth what's done in heaven, it'll be done in victory. And Zechariah speaks this prophetic word, a word that's meant to edify, a word that's meant to provoke. And let me just address something that concerns me very much along these lines. And frankly, I'm frightened as a pastor of this congregation that God might be releasing on us a latter rain of spiritual renewal, that you or your family, even us as a spiritual family, that somehow we might run the risk of missing the moment of what God is wanting to do in our midst. And it wasn't because we didn't hear, it's because we became very passive. We heard the word and we didn't respond. We heard the word and we put it off. And we became passive toward the promise. Passive in faith, passive in prayer. We lack fervency and passion in asking the Lord for what He promises to give. And listen, I realize I'm a little passionate about this. But I realize that in this passion that I feel, I might sound as though I'm trying to take advantage of your conscience or maybe guilt you into something that you really don't have any interest in doing. And listen, I would never do that. That's not my right. That's not my place to play on your emotions or somehow, you know, twist your spiritual arm behind your back, put you in a toehold, and make you do what you don't want to do. I don't want to do that. However, I know that we we have an enemy of our soul who wants to blind us from the truth and move us off course and get us distracted. And I know enough about my flesh and just the places in my soul that miss God sometimes, that everyone has this capacity. There is the temptation to get very complacent, to get very passive in a day that demands spiritual decisiveness, spiritual intentionality, passion, fervency. There's the latter rain for us. There's the latter rain of revival. There's the latter rain of spiritual darkness being broken. There is the latter rain of harvest available to us. There's the latter rain of God clearing our vision. There's the latter rain of God coming and softening our hearts and preparing us more for what He wants to do in our midst. And so how do we live beneath the storm clouds? You can imagine they're clouds that were, Zechariah is saying they're clouds that are coming and they're heavy with rain. In fact, if you look at it back in verse 1, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Now, the idea of flashing clouds, you know what that refers to. It refers to storm clouds. Cosmic light shows happening. Lightning. Lightning. But there's also a responsibility of faith that comes with the promise of the rain. It's very easy to think, well, God's promised latter rain, we're going to have latter rain. But notice what the prophet says. He says, ask for it. He says, in the time of latter rain, ask for the latter rain. The Lord will make it happen. The Lord will accomplish it. And there will come the increase, and there will be harvest, and everyone will have all that God is wanting to do. In their midst, they'll have it. But it doesn't matter that God is speaking the promise. What matters is the people of God are asking in faith for it to happen. If there's anything that sums up the call of duty, is that the people of God would step into a place of asking the Lord for what he's promised. Of going after the heart of God and seeking the heart of God with a fervency and a passion that says, Lord, now this generation, my time, my family, my church, my city, my neighborhood. Mary and I, before we were ever lived in Gibsonville, we lived in Nag's Head for about 2.5 years, and then we lived in Newbern for 3 years. And I think meteorology just followed us around, because when we were in Nag's Head, we stayed through Hurricane Emily. Hurricane Emily, that's like your next door neighbor. Good old Emily. Oh, where's Emily? We want to see Emily. Emily, come bring us a cake. Emily brought the pain. down the banks from us toward Hatteras, Emily wasn't a very, she came on here as a hurricane one, but she was, as far as wind damage, it wasn't severe. What she did bring were the flood waters from the sound side that began to press in and flooded all kinds of houses and churches down on the south banks. I remember we were in Wanchese staying with some friends. I remember going outside and looking up, and I could see just the whipping, the rapid storm clouds moving in that circular motion. You could see it. It was menacing. And then we lived in Newbern, and in a span of 6 weeks, we had category two hurricanes come right over us. Hurricane Bertha. Now that sounds menacing, doesn't it? Hurricane Bertha. What? And then Hurricane Fran. Now I had great Aunt Frances. So I was like, you know, Hurricane Fran. You know, she's the one you go see maybe for 3 years. You don't know much about her, but you know that she has candy in the dish all around the house. I mean, she's, but boy, Fran. Well, Bertha came in and destroyed, literally destroyed the Newbern waterfront. And then Hurricane Fran came through. And have you ever seen a pine tree snapped in two in the middle and it's just laying over in the field? Well, you could see from, I'd say miles, if it made me acres. I'll just kind of pull back and say acres. You could see acres around all the pine trees around Newbern and Craven County. Just fields and acres of snapped off pine trees laying down like that. That was the result of the storm. And anytime you're in a storm, you see the lightning and the flashes, and it's menacing. You stand beneath it and you're thinking, boy, storm clouds, this has got some potential to be bad. And sometimes the storm brings a heaviness. You see that it's gray, it's foreboding, the clouds are dark, and you're thinking, boy, this is not going to be good. And then the rain begins to come and the hail begins to fall. And as you're looking up, you're thinking, this is a bad thing. I'm looking around me. I'm looking at storms happening around me. I'm seeing the heaviness of the clouds in just these last days that we live in. I'm seeing the heaviness of those clouds and the confusion of our age. I'm seeing the heaviness of those clouds falling in racial upheaval and cultural upheaval in our nation. I'm seeing the clouds gather, and I'm thinking, this is not looking good. The heaviness of those clouds can be the burden of your own heart, your own family, some of the struggles that you're facing, people that you're praying for. You just look up and the clouds don't look good. But I gave you a few pictures of what the storm clouds look like underneath. Maybe John will bring those back up. You can see the flashes of lightning that happen, the gathering of the dark skies, the horizon just blanketed in what it looks like to be very impending and foreboding. And you can look up and you think, this is not good. This is not a good time to be around. Maybe I need a vacation. I need to get off this highway. I need to get out of this place. You know what you can't see? Is what lies above it. We always see the storm clouds from underneath. We always see the danger from underneath. We all see that. We all see the capacity that this could be bad. This could hurt people. This could bring danger and damage. But the Lord is always speaking from the heaven side. The Lord is always moving from the heaven side. And if you could rise above the clouds and you could see there's a storm happening, but you could see there's a Father that has a purpose. There's a Father that's wanting to work in your midst. There's a Father that's wanting to bring a rain that refreshes, that doesn't damage. The Lord is wanting to bring a life-giving rain of His presence that restores and brings life. And God is prepared to do that. God is prepared to renew us. But don't forget what the prophet says. God is ready to move. God is ready to act. God is ready to pour out. But not until the people pray. Not until the people turn their faces toward the Lord and begin to seek Him with a fervency and call, Lord, send latter rain in these days of latter rain. God, rain down on us. Spirit of God, rain down on us, Lord. Revive us, Lord. Renew us, O God. Bless. Rain down.
Your people never be the same. Let your holy